This is a tale of GoTo, Indonesia's most valuable tech startup, a powerhouse contributing to over 2% of the nation's GDP. It's the crack of dawn in 2010, and within the quiet offices of Tokopedia, William Tanuwijaya is faced with a dilemma. Just a year after its launch, on the day marking Indonesia's surge towards independence, Tokopedia came to life, echoing the resilient spirit of "We are not afraid."
This wasn't just any catchphrase. It was a call for bravery amidst the ashes of a recent terror attack that had shaken Indonesia to its core. Their launch was symbolic, a success by any measure, as t-shirts bearing the bold statement flew off the virtual shelves within minutes.
But fast forward to the early months of 2010, and the vibrant energy of the launch seems like a distant memory. Some days, the transaction counter hits an unsettling zero, painting a grim picture of stagnation for William, who had poured two relentless years into securing the funds to breathe life into Tokopedia. The reality before him is stark. Campaigns need amplifying and efforts doubling, but the coffers are running dry. On what seemed like another ordinary day of grappling with challenges, William, in a bid to maintain a semblance of routine, sifts through his emails.
Amidst the mundane, one message stands out, a flicker of the unusual.
Hey, William. How are you? I came across your campaign. Can we meet?
A change was coming, and William replied quickly.
Let's meet.
Hours later, the energy within Tokopedia's office shifts. A visitor navigates the space with a purpose, heading straight for William's door.
William.
Recognizing the visitor, William's response is immediate.
Wilson Chuacha, right?
Yes. Dive into the details for me. What's Tokopedia all about?
William leaned forward, his enthusiasm palpable as he began to explain the complex world of e-commerce, detailing Tokopedia's role in it and its mission to revolutionize how Indonesians shop and sell online. His words were filled with passion, his hands animated as he painted the picture of a marketplace that empowered small traders and consumers alike.
However, as he spoke, he couldn't help but notice Wilson's expression, or rather, the lack of it. Wilson's gaze seemed distant, his attention wandering as if the details of marketing strategies, platform algorithms, and user engagement metrics were of little interest to him.
Naturally, this observation made William pause, a flicker of doubt crossing his mind. Perhaps, he thought, Wilson was not as invested in this conversation as he had hoped. Amidst these swirling thoughts, a surprising question was asked.
Hold on. What is the dream?
What did you say?
I mean, William, the charts and numbers are all great. But tell me, what's the dream here?
William's initial surprise faded quickly, likely replaced by a deep, resonant sense of purpose.
The dream. The dream is to change commerce, to revolutionize the way it's conducted in Indonesia. It's about empowering small traders, giving them a platform to compete on equal footing with larger enterprises. It's about creating an ecosystem where everyone can thrive.
Wilson's demeanor softened, a smile playing at the corners of his mouth as he listened. By now, you might be wondering, who exactly is Wilson Chuacha, and why does he matter? You see, change was indeed upon William and the Tokopedia team. Wilson Chuacha was no ordinary visitor. In 2009, he founded East Ventures, a fund that would become the most successful startup investment entity in Indonesia. And Wilson's first check was written, 28 hours later, to none other than Tokopedia. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 2 of a 5-part series. 3 proposals.
Venture funding is a lifeline for startups around the globe. But for Tokopedia, it would be one of the central themes of its journey. So exciting is the funding journey that William Tanuwijaya and his investors would even give the climax a name, the 3 proposals.
But funding is a double-edged sword, marking moments of salvation and challenge for Tokopedia. At its best, venture capital swooped in to rescue them from the brink of financial ruin, mere months away from potential bankruptcy. Yet paradoxically, it also sowed the seeds for some of their fiercest competition.
During the early 2010s, as China's bustling startup scene began reaching maturity, venture capitalists cast their gaze further south, with Indonesia, the world's 4th most populous nation, emerging as an enticing frontier.
This shift didn't go unnoticed by East Ventures, which some herald as Indonesia's pioneering venture capital firm. Their investment strategy hinged on a simple yet profound insight. In regions where 1, the population size is vast, and 2, the potential for internet penetration is high, startup success stories are likely to emerge. At the time, Indonesia's internet user base hovered around 30 million.
About 13% of its population.
Furthermore, young Indonesians were already weaving global giants like Facebook and Twitter into their everyday lives.
Even without much local support.
This was a clear sign. Indonesia was ready for a digital transformation.
And if history has taught us anything, it's that e-commerce often pioneers such transformations.
However, the Indonesian e-commerce landscape back then was dominated by a classified ads model. Forums, social networks, and blogs serving as makeshift marketplaces. While this was sufficient for casual sellers, this approach fell short for those with aspirations of scaling up. Amid this backdrop, Tokopedia, alongside Bukalapak, another homegrown platform, emerged as the change that Indonesia needed.
However, it was Tokopedia that clinched the spotlight, thanks in part to coverage by Tempo magazine, which boasted a weekly circulation of around 200,000. Their portrayal of Tokopedia as an online mall gave it legitimacy that was hard to ignore. This meant that for East Ventures, the decision was straightforward. Viewing Tokopedia as the sole serious contender in the local e-commerce arena, they expedited their support, delivering a check within an astonishing 28 hours.
While Tokopedia might have celebrated this infusion of trust and capital, the deeper essence of this pivotal moment is perhaps best encapsulated by Wilson Chwacha's reflections. He admired the audacity of first-time founders like William, noting,
"First-time founders are very brave. They don't know how big the world is."
This naivety of Tokopedia, while endearing, was about to usher in a variety of unforeseen challenges.
In March 2010, bolstered by $250,000 from East Ventures, Tokopedia's trajectory took a deliberate turn towards expansion. Until this point, their growth had been organic, powered by word of mouth. However, armed with this new capital, they ventured into the realm of paid advertising, albeit cautiously, allocating around $1,200 to their efforts.
And while it took some time, the strategic shift began to bear fruit. Tokopedia's platform buzzed with activity, hosting 27,000 users, 3,000 merchants, and showcasing about 50,000 SKUs. But this uptick in sales brought its own set of challenges, particularly for a team grappling with a back-end infrastructure that was, for the most part, manually managed. Bank statements and receipts were scrutinized by hand, a painstaking process that often saw William himself rolling up his sleeves to assist the team over weekends.
Observers often noted that William Tanuwijaya's prudent management of Tokopedia's resources mirrored his personal life choices. Even with the injection of venture capital, he continued to live modestly in a house with a leaking roof, for which he paid around $100 US in rent annually.
While some might question this level of frugality, William saw it as a necessity. The landscape in Indonesia was shifting rapidly, and the rumblings of impending competition were growing louder.
In 2010, whispers filled the air that Yahoo was eyeing Foursquare, a US-based location social network, for a hefty $100 million acquisition.
But on March 25, 2010, the headlines told a different story. Yahoo had acquired Koprol, Indonesia's very own version of Foursquare. This unexpected move didn't just shine a global spotlight on Indonesia. It opened the floodgates for foreign investors keen on Indonesia's emerging tech scene. At first, William saw Yahoo's venture as a promising omen for local tech startups, Tokopedia included. With East Ventures backing, it seemed like Tokopedia was set for its moment in the sun.
However, the journey ahead was about to teach William a valuable lesson and the nuanced reality of how the world really sees him.
It's likely the spring of 2010. Around William, groups converse in hushed tones, while ambitious pitches echo from the meeting rooms. He strides confidently into a space where modern meets traditional, a perfect backdrop for innovation. This pitch, practiced countless times, is ready to unfold.
How are you? Thank you for this opportunity. I'm here to share an idea that will revolutionize e-commerce in Indonesia. With increasing internet penetration and a young, tech-savvy population, the potential for growth is immense.
William pauses and looks up to see the investor's eyebrows furrowed. Maybe all will be clear once he delves into Tokopedia's narrative and reveals their key investor, East Ventures.
Imagine a platform where anyone in Indonesia can buy or sell goods seamlessly. This isn't just about business. It's about empowering people and creating opportunity.
The investor raises his hands. With an all too polite look, he spoke.
Please stop.
William pauses, taken aback. He couldn't believe.
Please get out.
He couldn't believe what he was hearing.
You're wasting my time. Your English is so terrible, I have no idea what you're saying.
William Tanuwijaya faced a daunting barrier that extended beyond the digital realm, his heavy Indonesian accent. It became an unexpected hurdle, as each Western investor he approached turned him down, leaving Tokopedia's potential untapped.
It was frustrating. Tokopedia would be a sound investment if only he could communicate it. But pitch after pitch, he was invited out, with some doing so less politely than others. As 2010 faded into history, Tokopedia watched from the sidelines as the first wave of foreign investment, primarily from American investors, bypassed them, channeling funds into the hands of their emerging competitors. This setback was a bitter reminder of William's early struggles, spending 2 long years seeking a single investor to believe in Tokopedia's mission. He had hoped that securing East Ventures' backing would smooth the path ahead, but the journey remained fraught with challenges.
However, the dawn of a new decade brought fresh opportunities. A new wave of investors from Japan and South Korea arrived, bringing with them an unexpected yet relatable challenge. Their grasp of English was comically akin to William's own. This challenge, rather than being a barrier, became a bridge. It cultivated a sense of mutual patience and effort in communication, allowing these investors to understand Tokopedia's true potential. In 2011, a significant breakthrough occurred when Japan's Cyber Agent Ventures invested in Tokopedia. Empowered by this new funding, Tokopedia surged ahead, boasting 7,800 active shops, 75,000 registered members, and approximately 800,000 unique visitors each month.
The momentum continued with Japan's net price coming on board in 2012, followed by a pivotal investment from SoftBank's South Korean office in 2013. By then, Tokopedia's gross merchandise value, a key indicator of the platform's transaction volume, had grown sixfold. Yet, in the face of this growth, William and his team remained frugal in their expenditures, opting for cinema advertisements over the more costly television ads.
With the e-commerce stage rapidly filling up, Tokopedia was navigating through increasingly turbulent waters. The allure of Japanese investment had introduced new players to the arena, with Rakuten, Japan's titan akin to Amazon, stepping into the spotlight. Initially partnering locally, Rakuten made a decisive move in 2013 to fully acquire its Indonesian joint venture, launching Belanja, translating to treat or pay. The reputation of Japanese goods for their thoughtfulness and quality quickly garnered Belanja a dedicated niche following.
Simultaneously, a 20-member team from eBay was laying down its roots in Indonesia. After facing challenges in China, eBay set its sights on capturing emerging markets, identifying Indonesia as a prime candidate. They launched Plaza.com through a joint venture, drawing in a remarkable 2.5 million unique visitors monthly through strategic partnerships.
Amidst this influx of new ventures, the older classified ad-based e-commerce platforms continued to thrive, contrary to William's predictions. Tokobagus, seen as Indonesia's Craigslist, was pulling in staggering numbers, exceeding 1 billion monthly page views and averaging 40 million visits. Its backing by tech giant Naspers, an early Tencent investor, only added to its clout. In comparison, the actual Craigslist attracted about 60 million visitors monthly in the US, placing Tokobagus in a similar league.
Kaskus, another local competitor, boasted its own impressive stats with 600 million page views a month.
And I think the picture is pretty clear. In this fierce marketplace, Tokopedia, despite fresh rounds of funding, found itself in an ironic position. Still the underdog, navigating the turbulent waters with cautious expenditure.
Choosing strategy over splurge, Tokopedia's team honed in on user retention rather than aggressive customer acquisition. While the conventional startup wisdom advocates for a balanced approach to both, the norm in Eastern markets often sees well-funded startups aggressively chasing new customers through promotions. Tokopedia, however, charted a different course, emphasizing the importance of keeping users engaged and loyal. This focus yielded a notable statistic. At least half of Tokopedia's buyers were repeat customers, a testament to the platform's ability to foster loyalty amidst a sea of competition.
This loyalty, combined with Tokopedia's resilient spirit, prompted an intriguing question among industry insiders. If this is the height Tokopedia has reached as an underdog, imagine what they could accomplish with virtually limitless resources at their disposal. It would happen in a single trip and would become known in Tokopedia lore as the Three Proposals.
It was late September 2014, and to anyone looking from the outside, Tokopedia appeared to be on an upward trajectory. They had just introduced their brand mascot, Toped, a charming green figure that blended the essence of a shopping bag with the wisdom of an owl. This mascot was a nod to Tokopedia's dual identity, Toko, meaning shop, and the depth of knowledge implied by encyclopedia, hence the owl.
The platform was also represented by Chelsea Islan, an Indonesian celebrity whose influence was poised to skyrocket to over 15 million followers. With a team now 60 strong, Tokopedia was significantly outpacing its nearest local rival in terms of manpower. Observers might have thought William Tanuwijaya was catching his breath, perhaps even relaxing a bit. He was, after all, arranging a visa for Japan with plans to propose to his longtime girlfriend.
But beneath this facade of success, Tokopedia was navigating through turbulent waters. Despite a loyal user base glued to the platform, converting this engagement into actual sales was proving challenging. In the nascent days of e-commerce, success hinged on transactions. The more purchases, the better. While users were buying more frequently, the volume just wasn't there. The pressing need? Elevating Tokopedia's visibility, and quickly. By their calculations, they had until the end of November before funds would dry up.
Then, out of the blue, a call came in that William hadn't dared hope for.
Hi, William. This is SoftBank calling from Japan.
William was familiar with SoftBank through interactions with their South Korean division investors. The call from Japan's headquarters, however, was unexpected, coming directly under the oversight of Masayoshi Son and his formidable $100 billion fund. The disbelief had barely settled before William learned he was scheduled to meet Masayoshi Son in Tokyo on October the 2nd. Hanging up, he thought, somewhat amused.
Good thing I got that visa.
As the days edged closer to the meeting, William's phone rang again. This time, with a surprise on the other end.
It's Sato-san.
Identifying himself as the managing partner of Sequoia Capital, the venture fund behind giants like Apple, PayPal, and Google. William listened, barely breathing, as Sato proposed a meeting.
Would you have time at 2 p.m.? We'll only need an hour.
That hour stretched into two, during which the Sequoia team dove deep into understanding Tokopedia and William's vision for it. Their interest was obvious, their engagement intense. As the meeting concluded, Sato's parting words left William with a sense of anticipation.
Let's reconnect, William. We'd love to dive deeper.
Sure.
As September drew to a close, William found himself navigating an unexpectedly surreal turn of events. Gone were the days of scraping together resources to launch Tokopedia. Now, investment firms he once could only dream of were reaching out to him. He likely assured himself that no matter how packed his schedule became, he'd find a way to accommodate these golden opportunities.
But fortune seemed to play a cruel game. On the brink of his departure to Japan in early October, Sequoia Capital called again, complicating his meticulously planned proposal trip. William, with a heavy heart, offered his apologies, fearing he might have let a monumental opportunity slip through his fingers.
To his astonishment, the opportunity didn't bypass him. In fact, it followed him. Stepping into Osaka, he was greeted by none other than the Sequoia venture partner, who immediately inquired,
William, you got time?
What was going on? What the f*** was happening? The Sequoia partner's enthusiasm was unmistakable, and their discussion extended far longer than anticipated, to the point where William found himself in a position he never expected.
We've got to put a pause on the meeting.
But why? We're eager to hear more about where you're taking Tokopedia.
With a mix of urgency and disbelief, William explained.
You won't believe this, but I need to propose to my girlfriend in exactly 2 hours.
Amid the neon glow and timeless beauty of Osaka, nestled between temples that whispered ancient tales and skyscrapers that reached for tomorrow, William Thanuwijaya took a leap of faith into a new chapter of his personal life. There, he proposed to the woman who would become his wife, marking a moment where their futures intertwined, promising change more profound than either could imagine.
But the surprises of October weren't solely reserved for love. William later referred to this whirlwind trip as the journey of three proposals. Not only did he secure his future with his partner, he also clinched pivotal deals with both SoftBank in Tokyo and, unexpectedly, with Sequoia Capital.
Suddenly, headlines were ablaze with talk of Indonesia's Alibaba, Tokopedia. The investments totaled a staggering $100 million, catapulting Tokopedia into a realm of success previously unimaginable, setting them apart in the Indonesian e-commerce landscape. Everyone was certain that Tokopedia, Indonesia's Alibaba, would come up on top.
That is, until the real Alibaba came to town. In May 2014, the Alibaba Group made a strategic move that signaled its ambitious plans for Southeast Asian expansion by acquiring a 10.35% stake in SingPost for $250 million. Their objective? Indonesia. Leveraging SingPost's extensive network, Alibaba aimed to drastically reduce delivery times from China to Jakarta, cutting down the wait from a daunting 35 days to a mere 14. To dip their toes further into Indonesian waters, Alibaba initiated a Bahasa Indonesia version of AliExpress in January 2015, complemented by a series of 24-hour flash sales and promotions with Bank BNI and various Indonesian messengers. The reception was promising, and it was time to go deeper. Further solidifying their presence, Alibaba cemented partnerships with local Indonesian e-payment provider Doku and continued its collaboration with SingPost, thus weaving Indonesians into the vast Alibaba ecosystem.
But Alibaba's aggressive push was just the beginning of a storm brewing over Tokopedia. Whispers of JD.com's entry into Indonesia began to circulate. Known for its logistical prowess in China, with warehouses and a proprietary delivery fleet enabling same-day deliveries, JD.com posed a formidable challenge. Amidst the shifting landscape, William faced a stark realization. Despite Tokopedia's dominance among local competitors, standing up to global giants was a different battle entirely. Unless he didn't try to stop them alone. Reaching for his phone urgently, he dialed a number that could change the course of Tokopedia's destiny.
Hi, this is Nadia Makarim speaking. Yes, Nadia Makarim from Gojek.
In 2015, an unprecedented collaboration between Tokopedia and Gojek would unlock same-day delivery to millions of Indonesians.
Without owning a single delivery fleet. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 2 of a 5-part series, 3 proposals. Next on Empires, we go back in time to witness the rise of Gojek as two Indonesians, Nadia Makarim and Kevin Alui, turn a social enterprise into what would become Indonesia's first decacorn, worth over $10 billion. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 3 of our 5-part series. Go, Ojek! Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.